Evolve 360, a holistic approach to life, is an exploration of learning through experience to transform individually and culturally as a whole by taking a 360-degree look at the quality of our lives, including the limiting beliefs, worn-out paradigms, and destructive habits that have led us to where we are today, and to instead create or revolutionize a new life vision that brings greater peace, harmony, appreciation, fulfillment, clarity, happiness, and joy as we ultimately evolve. In our last episode, Shelley and I focused on communication and negotiation on the micro level and the intimate power plays we have in marriage and divorce. In this episode, which is part two, we're going to shed more illusions as we move from behind the closed doors of our individual life and the intimate relationships we have and step into the macro level of our external world, where we experience these same power plays in our careers, our companies, and beyond. So let's get really naked. Welcome to the Evolve 360 Shelley Shell Show with hosts
Shelley Grace
and Shelley Divine. So, hey, soul sister.
Hey, soul sister. What an episode we have for our viewers today.
Oh, I know. We're getting really
naked. Oh my gosh. You know, and when we were talking about doing this episode, it started as just one, and we said, no, we really have to do two, because today's part is about getting really naked. It's about unveiling the illusion of the stories that we tell ourselves, especially when maybe situations aren't going well in our life, but we just come up with these stories that we begin to believe. And yeah, I've been there. You know, I've told myself stories with my career, with my job, with my marriages, with my relationships, even with my kids, that maybe, you know, I had to take a step back and look at it like a movie. So I wanted to share with you guys little techniques that I use. And part of the show that Shelley and I have been putting together, we always set an intention at the beginning of the show. And I wanted to talk about this intention before we move forward, because the person that brought this into my life was Dr. Wayne Dyer, when he first wrote the book, The Power of Intention. And he was saying how the intention, it's a power force. It's part of what we consider with the law of attraction, but it's an energy that we give life to. So when we set our intentions, it's important to be able to move that intention in a positive way, in a forward way. And with the episode today that we're getting really naked and shedding our illusions and really looking at life through different eyes with clarity, the word that I said we're going to set the intention with is discernment. And discernment is a really important word, because it gives us the ability to see the details in a person or a situation and to help process it. It gives us that eagle eye, that bird's eye view, that eagle eye view, and then those details. And a lot of times when we're going through stuff in our lives, we really need to have discernment, because discernment helps us shift through that illusion and that veil and clarify exactly in which direction we have to move. Usually it's forward, but you want to take the time to make the correct decision so that you don't, you know, trump yourself up. So to gain clarity during situations that are very difficult and have discernment, we have to align our head and our heart. And sometimes if we don't do this, we don't take a step back, we don't pause to have clarity, it's really difficult. And you know, most of the times these stories that I'm talking about are stories that, you know, bring us stress, things aren't going well. So what I always did was I always set the intention of discernment, but I followed with a prayer. Mm-hmm. And I like to take this moment to set our intention for the show of discernment, and start off with a prayer that would always bring me peace, clarity, wisdom, and courage. So at this time, I like to say, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Isn't it great?
It's a prayer. It's simple.
It's a simple prayer. And I would say it over and over and over again when things weren't going well, just to bring me that peace. And to guide me in that direction, because there's a lot of things in our life that many times we can't change. We really can't change anything except ourselves and our situations. But when we're going through stuff and, you know, we have to shed those illusions, then we need to be very discerning as to how we're going to move forward. And when you're rushing in the world that we're living in today, everybody's rushing and you have to make decisions quickly. But there's certain decisions that you really need to take time on, need to let them simmer, you know, like that spaghetti sauce that we love to make.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to simmer, because if not, it's not going to taste good. Well, you also need to simmer your discernment so that you make the right decisions to empower yourself as you move forward.
Yeah, totally. And as you move forward too in your life, it's all about growth. Right? It's all about your individual or your self-esteem growth and the power that you have within, or how you empower yourself, which, you know, in our last episode, we spoke about it on the micro level. And today we're going to get into it on the macro level of, you know, what occurs when we go, you know, when we are in relationships on that intimate level and they break down and maybe they end. And we find ourselves, if we were in a marriage, we're divorced, and we have all these, you know, emotions that we have to deal with, you know, like anger, frustration. It's all these low frequency emotions. But, you know, it's like, how do we deal with that? And prayer, like that beautiful prayer that you just stated, helps carry us through when our faith and our trust have been
shattered. You have this illusion, because when we have the, you know, the esteem of building something, of being with something, and then all of a sudden it's shattered, you're broken.
And sometimes we don't know why that happens, but I you know, like, because we think, wow, everything's going along just great, and then all of a sudden it's something comes in, like something external sometimes comes in and interrupts that relationship, or, you know, it could be an illness, it could be another person, could be, like, there's so many things that we attract depending on our thoughts and on where our emotions are directing those thoughts. They're seriously important. So one of the things that we're going to, you know, break down is these low vibrant frequencies and what happens in divorce and how it plays out in your external world, not just in the micro of your intimate relationship. It'll all be included, but it extends out into the external world as well, into your workspace, into, you know, your social life, into whatever you begin to do externally. So one of the things that we were going to dive into and we spoke about last time was communication and negotiation and how important it is to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a skill. But how do we do that internally and then externally when we've been humiliated and we've been broken and shattered, you know, through humiliations? And I think it comes down to understanding what the humiliations are. And three of the ones that come up, say, when that, you know, something terrible happens and your marriage breaks down and you're feeling the separation of divorce, is the three humiliations that we experience, or loss of power, are through shame and through abandonment and betrayal. So, you know, examples of that: abandonment, when you're spouse walks out on you and mm-hmm. leaves you. That's abandonment. And that conjures up all these, you know, high emotions that sometimes become very negative, most often become very negative. Or betrayal. Maybe a spouse financially betrays you or sexually betrays you, which we spoke a lot about finances and sex and our interactions in the last episode. And so that plays a role. Mm-hmm. And then the shame thing is based on what somebody else is thinking, and you're putting your perceptions and your principles based on that, and you're looking at something external for support and
like societal
shame.
Right.
Yes, it's societal acceptance and all that, which is really interesting because what Shelley and I have been describing to you along all of our podcasts, like all of our shows, is you got to go inside and you got to connect with God or source or the creator, whatever you want, whatever that supreme being is to you.
And you connect with yourself.
Yeah. And connect it to yourself because mm-hmm. that's where the true power is.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. So if we're searching externally in our newer relationships, mm-hmm. and in our work environment, you know, to be successful in work, sometimes that isn't the true answer. You got to find out what's inside you first to be fulfilled, and then you can go externally.
Right. Because it's like what we were saying, it's a ripple effect. It's like when you throw a pebble in the lake and those little ripples just ebbing out.
Yeah. It,
totally out. That's exactly, it's like it permeates. And, you know, we're shattered. It just permeates throughout. So how can you take care of yourself? I know that when I was going through some tough times in my life, that serenity prayer really grounded things for me and really helped me just stay calm and stay in balance. And when you can't make a decision, don't make any decision. It's better just to stay where you are and to just give yourself time. Give yourself time. But in the world that we're living today, not only are we talking about divorce, but a lot of people are being laid off.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of businesses have closed. And, you know, a lot of people are in situations where their North Star, their compass is totally upside down. You know, we're reevaluating our lives. We're doing things again in a different way. And it's not the way that sometimes, you know, change is hard. Let's face it. We don't like to change. We like our routines. We like our comfort. And boy, did this put a spin in our lives, right?
Yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah.
So as we move forward, it's important to take care of ourselves, to listen to our inner world, and to not continue doing things the way that we were. And this is why this show is about just shedding your illusions. Mm. Seek clearly. Mm-hmm. What's in front of you instead of what you really want to think that you see in front of you.
Right. And the things that you think you want when really deep down inside isn't what is really what you truly, truly want. And sometimes our emotions get caught up in all that because mm-hmm. we think, you know, this happens in you know, divorces afterwards is fear of missing out. If you have children, you know, the time spent, if you're split. So parents oftentimes feel like they're missing out on, you know, the early childhood years or the teen years of their kids and being partaking in that. One of the, there's this book, I can't remember who wrote it, but it's Unconscious Coupling. And it basically speaks to, you know, getting in touch with the myths that are out there, like happily ever after.
Right.
It's like instead of happily ever after, you know, it's happily even after.
Even
and
after.
Really coming down into individualizing yourself from your significant other and growing. Divorce is all about growth. And when we experience something like that, it could be, we're just focusing on divorce, but it could be a health issue, but it's all about growth. And we move from one of the main archetypes which will come up during this time is the victim and the victimizer. I'm just thinking, oh man, right? And we become both. We deal with both in right. these situations. So, I mean, you can see how this can not only play in your, you know, your marriage that might have ended, but you can also see how this could start to begin to play a role in the workplace. And what Shelley and I are introducing is that what we experience in our intimate lives is expands out
into the
right. workforce. And how that happens is by being somewhat unconscious mm-hmm. of the emotions that are influencing your reactions to things. And the best way to talk about that is, I think we can all identify on the individual level with, say, you know, when we've broken up, say you haven't been married, but you broke up with, the, you know, a significant other. So you know how that fails, you know the pain of it. But with a divorce, you're separating, and there could be other things that are involved, a lot of other things, like, you know, you're financially connected, you might have kids, you're parenting together. So there's all these other dynamics that come mm-hmm. into involvement. So when you're in the workforce, you know, you're out there and, you know, both could be out there, significantly working with, you know, some superiors, some bosses, or might have some issues with maybe another coworker, but they generally come down to the same emotional responses at times. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if we have like something that shows up out there, we might be like, oh wow, I didn't get this because I'm not getting it in my marriage.
Or, right. But yeah. Let's flip it, because okay. there's a lot of viewers that are happily married and have yeah. a great life. But yeah. now you go into the workforce and things are not good. Maybe mm-hmm. your company is going through a big financial time right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're downsizing. Maybe you got laid off. Maybe you're not happy at work and you're unfulfilled. That trickles into your home life. Because mm-hmm. now you come home, you're not happy. You know, you're in angst. You start, you know, just nitpicking at things that normally you would never nitpick at. So mm-hmm. for those people that are happily married and, you know, we want to flip things, because really we talk about our world in a 360 degree view. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are, you're in the middle of this 360 degree mm-hmm. Bubble. Yeah. And everything that you do and affects you surrounds your whole 360 degree perspective. So this is what we're talking about, because as the archetype of the victim and the victimizer, you know, maybe you come home and you're like, you really had a hard day. And I'm not talking for one day, but for like a long time at work, and you have a boss that you just, you know, you can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And at home, you really want to be nurtured. So you start like baking those migraine headaches and you become the, you know, the victim, or you start doing things to gain more attention in a negative way. And this is kind of like what we're, the road that we're going down.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually, I love how you flipped the coin. Yeah. I remember thinking, oh, I'm really happy in my marriage. And then the coin flipped. No, I'm not so happy. I'm like, how did that happen? You know, like
right,
it was a complete
right.
flip of the coin.
Right.
It was like, you know, heads I win, tails you lose. You
know? Right. Well, I'm happily married now. And it's like, you know, I had to flip the coin in where I was at in my career 2 years ago. And I was like, I think it's time for a change, you know, because things just didn't pan out the way that I thought they were going to pan out after a long and great and very prosperous career yeah. that I, you know, that I left. And so we always have to be kind of recalibrating and re-engaging with ourselves in our lives. And let's face it, life is work. Okay. If anybody thinks that it's just a piece of cake, you know, who said this was like, you know, earth is earth school, right? We're here on earth and we're really trying to move forward and just learn all these lessons and see what our divine contracts are and our sacred contracts. And you have relationships with people that sometimes you wonder, how did this person get into my life? or even family members, you're like, I know we're not related, but we are, right? Like, where did this person come from? But these are just things that we're talking about so that you become aware and you start shedding those illusions that a lot of times end up affecting us because we create stories that are untrue.
Yeah. Yeah. And it comes down to our own self-perspective, mm-hmm. you know, like what we think of ourselves. And some of the things that I can remember that came out of like afterwards that I had to contend with was because I was, you know, seeking approval from my ex-husband after we had divorced. And it wasn't really approval, but just acceptance, I guess.
Right.
And not have this kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of low grade, you know, like, you know, annoyance towards one another and all those yeah. little things that come after years of, you know, maybe being separated or divorced, because it's a long right. journey. You know? Right. Like, but one of the things that comes into play is, you know, I never felt like I wasn't enough. I was on my journey of becoming like something when right. I was married. That's the way I had. But then afterwards it was like, man, I'm not enough here. What the heck's going on? I need to be more. I'm like, I'm trying to be more, you know, like I'm trying right. to be more. But I think I wanted to also add that in, but circle back to what you were saying about, you know, the flip and going from coming home from work and being that spouse that is dissatisfied
right.
with maybe their work environment, and then they bring it home mm-hmm. and then they think it's they're dissatisfied with their home life and they want right. to make some change, but they don't know where it needs to come from, and they're looking for external solutions. And what we keep referring to, you know, you got to make wise, discerning
right.
choices. And oftentimes we make choices because out of, I think, ignorance on some level, because we just, there's no roadmap. And so we might, you know, decide to have an affair, you mm-hmm. know, or we might decide to go and, you know, abuse like maybe the finances by spending it here or there, like maybe on drugs or, you know, some sort of other thing to give us a lift. I mean, these are things that are common that might be happening in people's lives where we
right.
just kind of, you know, go down these, you know, roads of self-destruction in some ways because we're trying to become
to find something.
And we don't know what that is,
right.
and we're searching. But the big mistake here is we've been searching externally, and that is, you know, to figure that out. What you're saying, you know, we hear all this talk about what's your life purpose and how do you find your life purpose? How do you?
And there's so much pressure with that because
oh my God, there is.
It's, you know, ridiculous. And I like to circle back to what you said about you're not enough, and it's like it's lack, right? So yeah. you look for the next big thing. So maybe you work for a great corporation or a great boss and a great company, and all of a sudden things start going bad, and you leave.
Yeah.
And then you realize that you made the biggest mistake of your life because there went your great job with great security, which, you know, it's important to some people, but it's what we're talking about is you need to go inside because that empowerment comes from you. It doesn't come from anything else.
Right.
It comes from you. So how do you shift that power play of being a victim or a victimizer and basically sabotaging yourself? Because now we're going to bring in the saboteur as another piece of archetype. It's an energy that a lot of us, a lot of times do unconsciously, but at the same time, it totally, you know, throws another element in. So it goes back to empowering by listening to your inner self. You're going to empower yourself. You're going to stop dealing with what society thinks you should be doing or what your, you know, family thinks that you should be doing. You know, what is it that you want to do? What is going to bring you happiness and joy? How are you going to empower yourself? Don't deal with other people's egos, because a lot of times, sometimes people are threatened and they start, you know, that little game of power play with you, but it's really not about you. It's all about them.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to tap into who you are and just use that word, which I absolutely love, which is discernment, and see where all of this is coming from. All these external forces. Yeah. And boy, let me tell you, these archetypes are,
They're the four survival ones. We can keep coming back to them endlessly. Yes. We all have to deal with them. Just reminding, in case you haven't listened to any of our other shows, we've discussed actually two of them at length, which was the saboteur, the guardian of choice. So it's all about the choices you make. Choices empower you or disempower you. Just, are you sabotaging yourself by making a choice that is going to, go badly? And you kind of know. You have an internal compass, but there's those seven deadly sins that we deal with, the greed, the lust, those things that are like, tantalating and exciting and, I want to test that out, is it really, is it really lust? But we feel all these things in our body. I mean, these are normal human things and we have to contend with them, but they do have consequences.
They do.
And the saboteur is going to show you that. And especially, say, in our innermost relationships, when we start to interact with other people, which our first real experiences of that are in the family home life with our folks, our parents, our siblings. And then we experiment. We're like, okay, that was my birth family. Now I get to go and choose what's my family going to be like. And and now I get to have some freedom and get busy with it. And, and then from there, things, if they go good or they go bad, then
sometimes you hear those family tapes in the background, or like you open up your mouth when you have kids and you hear your mother coming out.
Yeah.
It's like, geez, there she is.
Yeah. Right? How did that happen? Something that you couldn't stand, and you're saying it, and it's all kind of unconscious sometimes.
It is.
Because it's so ingrained. Uh-huh. And too, like, where we live, there's so many things that we have absolutely no control over because of where we're born, where we live, what country or what our ethical background or whether male or female, like all these sorts of things come into play on our decision-making, process.
Right.
But those survival archetypes are huge. And
they are.
And
we all have them, everybody.
We all have them. I mean, our prostitute, our saboteur, and our child. We behave really badly sometimes, like little temper tantrums, children. But then also the child has a lot of good things, which we're going to get into the child in our next series more so. Yeah. That's going to become a more important one in that one. But I just want to mention it is one of the survivals. And the other one is... did I say the prostitute already or the victim and victimizer?
The victim and the prostitute. Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. And the victim is really huge in these. I mean, I think in the US, like in our culture, when we're, go through a divorce, we feel victimized because of those humiliations that we experience. Most often it has to do with one of those three main ones, the shame or, betrayal or abandonment, and all those blameful, blame and resentment, and we want vengeance sometimes. We want to punish our partners. And how does that, it does come into play when you're in the workforce. And when you had said, it made me remember some instances of like being in the workforce, and then you come home and you would complain about, so-and-so at work, I couldn't believe they did this. and they're driving me crazy. And, if you're a business owner and you have business partners that you're contending with, and they go off and they do something that's completely, against your own values or your morals. And then you have to, work with them again on the day to day. And then you're bleeding money through the business or something. This is just like some, made up thing that I'm thinking. But I mean, how often do we hear these stories? I mean, I did work for a company years ago that ended up going belly up. The whole company was ruined because the CEO who started the company, I don't know what their relationship was, but it was like a huge divorce because the guy who was the VP was embezzling money. Wow. And I'm like, so he was misappropriating funds and stealing somehow. So he was putting them, who knows where, offshore accounts or whatever, but the whole thing blew up. It was like a major divorce. And then it suffered the consequences of, right. You know, the backlash, all these people out of work, all these, you know, and it was from too, like, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, because it was this woman's baby, so to speak. I mean, she created it. And had probably no idea. That was the fascinating thing to me. Nobody had a clue that this was happening.
How sad, right?
Because they trusted this person implicitly.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound like, you know, you're married and you're, you know, like if you have a company, you're married to your, you know, your partner and
stuff. To your company, right?
So
exactly.
You really trust them.
Are you married to your job? Because how many times are we at work more so than we are at home?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we're, and especially if you love what you do, you always are, you know, tied to it. Right. And there's a lot of people out there that love what they do. I mean, we love what we do and it's invigorating, but to me, it all goes back to communication. I mean, you have to talk. And if there things aren't going well, there are ways. That's why with discernment, you don't go up to someone and go like, I can't believe that you just did this. You use your tact, your diplomacy. Even sometimes you need to really, if you're really upset, take some time to really think things through. Mm. And that, you know, that serenity prayer is great. Or you say your own prayer, you know, whoever you believe in, but you need to take a step. And you can never do anything in anger because it just escalates. Who, I think it was Albert Einstein that says you cannot fix a problem at the same level that it was created. Wow. You have to rise above it, right? So we have to take the higher ground. Even sometimes we just don't want to. And that's your ego check, okay?
Yeah, because, it's super conscious to do that.
Yes, yeah, super conscious. Take the higher ground and say, okay, I'm gonna step up to the plate. And maybe reach out to that. How many people do I know that they have been in arguments with best friends or even family members, and because of this ego power play, they haven't talked to them in years?
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a shame because somebody needs to just step up to that power play. And, you know, let's face it, sometimes we do have people in our lives that are there because of blood relations that we really don't get along with. They're really not our cup of tea. But you still have to have inside that knowing that you took the higher ground. It doesn't mean that you have to be their best friend, but now you start avoiding family, you know, visits and family relations because that person's going to be there. You know, you can still go, but you know, to me, there's ways of handling situations like that. Just same in the workforce. You go to work and then there's somebody that just, you know, all of a sudden starts becoming a major problem in your life. So how are you going to handle it? You have to figure out. You can't just shut up and put up, because if you do that, it gets really bad. Yeah. Your health's going to start compromising. You know, things just, you have to deal with it. Sometimes you can't deal with it head on with the individual. You have to either, if you're working for a corporation, you know, go through HR, you know, you have to see what the situation is and how you can best handle it in an adult manner. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's what I'm going to say, adult way. With diplomacy, grace, and class.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Totally, yeah. And yet you kind of, you know, with, you know, when things go kind of wrong and you've experienced those negative humiliations, it's like, okay, what's gonna fix it internally in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, some of the, there's three things that will fix, say, you know, shame, for instance. Like
what
if
are
you're
they?
Feeling, well, shame is being honorable. So it's like, right. I mean, you can see that you'd have to be that way in every area of your life. You can't lie and cheat and
like being chivalrous.
You know, like, yeah, yeah. you can't, like, I mean, yeah, you can't be in the workforce and take credit for somebody else's work when you know it's not yours.
Right. But that happens a lot.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah. But that's a habit that comes, it didn't start there. It started from some sort of thing that early on, and I mean, it plays itself out and being, you know, being a person of integrity and honor and honoring one another, you know, right. that helps with shame and that helps you empower yourself right. in that you're not looking for external ways to build yourself up.
Yes.
You know, where shame is, you know, taking on somebody's perception, someone else's ideals of right. what is your self-worth.
Well, and with that comes your boundaries get tighter and yeah. stronger, and you don't allow people to do things to you
right.
because you empower yourself. And that's, Shelley, you're absolutely right about what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it doesn't just play out in your intimate, it plays out with everybody, you know, your best friend or right. your, you know, or acquaintances, colleagues. This plays out everywhere in maybe lower frequency. It's just when you're in the same household, it's like, it's, you know, like right now, like people are at home. I think the divorce rate has gone up because of this COVID thing, you know, like people are like, who knows what the numbers.
Even if you get along great, it's still a challenge, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, being 24/7 with someone all the time is.
Yeah, it's going to expose all of your idiosyncrasies. And
right, exactly.
That are like, you know, going to drive the other one nuts or what.
That's why you got to laugh, communicate, and just yeah. take a chill.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to take a chill when situations happen and
yeah.
and practice the art of maybe counting to 10 or 10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then the other one for abandonment is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Commitment, like being committed, commit to your job, you know, what you said you're going to do, what you say you're going to do, you're going to do. And it's the same thing in, you know, in a marriage or in a relationship. If you say that you're going to be at a certain place at, you know, 5 p.m. and then you're not showing up at that time and you're always showing up late, you know, that becomes
That's tough because
yeah.
I'm really a stickler with time, and I surround myself with people that honor time because it's part of yeah. respecting yourself and respecting others.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the whole commitment thing. That's just an example. Right. It's an easy example where yeah. people can identify. It's just what you say you're going to do, you're going to do. And right. marriage is all about commitment and taking a vow. And then all of a sudden that vow is broken. And so the person, you both need to heal that, because it's like, you need to be able to commit to other things to open your heart and love again and be a whole person and feel like a whole person
right.
again. And then the last one is betrayal. If you're betrayed, loyalty. I know that's a big one for me. Like I really want loyal people who can, you know, lifelong loyalty,
right?
Not in friendship, you know, like you don't.
Or because of opportunity.
Yeah.
Just because you have because I experienced that a lot, you know, just because you have either the positional power or you have, you know, the friend that can maybe get them to where they want to go. So right. they're your friends for a season.
Yeah.
And that,
we all can figure out people. We can all come across people like who have, you know, maybe come to, you know, maybe you might know somebody who's super successful. Like I, and they'll say, oh, well, I know them or whatever. And they're just using,
I know so and so.
They're just using you to, you know, get in with them. You know, like, and so it's very, you know,
maybe that's icky though.
It is, but that happens in the work, like in the work, though, you know, like in the workforce. And it also, you know, it happens in your intimate relations too, because, you know, if you are betrayed, you feel like a strong sense of being of loss and you know, this great humiliation. And so it's like, okay, how do you you know, you got to raise your standards on who's going to be loyal. So you're going to start asking better questions about,
but it's healing
values. And right. That's it's what will healing. Heal you. That's what will heal you.
And you need to work on your inner self, because what happens a lot is maybe a situation will show up again in a different way, but with the same kind of underlying theme. So if you don't deal with it, it's like the life lessons, right? Well, you didn't pass this test, so we're gonna throw another one at you until you tighten up those boundaries, or you step up and empower yourself and speak your mind. Mm-hmm. I know I had a lot of those, because I used to be like the good little girl that didn't speak, and when I was growing up, and then when I was in my early 20s, and I just wanted everything to be perfect and happily ever after, but it doesn't happen that way. Yeah. And you start noticing through a lot of pain that you go through, that it's just these illusions that you put in front of yourself that you need to tear down and just, you know, with a sledgehammer, just, you know, bang away at them. Because a lot of times they've been there for a long time.
Right. And we've felt victimized by them, right? Like the whole victim, and we have to come out of it victorious. And that's,
well, I don't know if I was, yeah, yeah. I guess you
get are. I mean, like, you know, like when you come out of a divorce, and I mean, like, you work on yourself and you're like, okay,
right, that you do,
you know, you do. And you're like, and you start to notice things about yourself. Like, okay, if you start attracting, like, say, you know, you go out and you start dating and you start attracting these, and you're like, why am I attracting guys like this? You
know? The same element comes around, the same flavor. Right.
Exactly. Or wherever you're kind of, you know, just
hanging out. It's an ice cream cone, but maybe it's vanilla instead of chocolate, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But like, my experience is I met, you know, like a lot of nice guys dating, but they weren't I was like, hell no, you know, like, and I'm like, why am I, you know, attracting men that I wasn't really attracted?
You didn't want to.
And I knew right away, I was like, you know, this isn't. But it, you know, it was like for several years, it was like that. And I'm like, why am I attracting that? And it was like a bit of self-protection. And I had to build, you know, really look at how I felt victimized in my marriage, and had a lot of issues to deal with, like betrayal, shame, and abandonment, and how I myself kind of, you know, empowered myself was, you know, becoming a woman that, you know, I have my own business. I work for myself. I mean, I worked for other people, but every time I was out there working in the workforce for other people, I was just seeing so many like negative ways and power struggles. And I was so like, you know, I came out of a marriage and we were struggling, you know, like who has the, you know, like who's say is going to go this way. Our negotiation skills weren't there anymore, you know, like, and so it's like, okay, I was noticing in the workforce and I'm like, I don't want to have that right now. I'd rather make all my decisions, my choices myself and be accountable for them and not rely on someone else. And that included every aspect of my life. It wasn't just, you know, the roof over my head. I mean, I still relied on my ex-spouse, my ex-husband for certain things, you know, like alimony. And it helped while I was starting my own business. And it still helps. But I'm like, wow, you know, like, you know, to be an entrepreneur and it taught me things that I didn't want to rehash when I was out there exploring the world again. It made me very aware of my survival archetypes for sure. And where I would sell my energy like a prostitute, you know, like, because, you know what, I it's okay to give this away, but no, I'm not going to do that. This whole negotiation thing.
The time is so important.
Yeah,
because time doesn't come back.
No, it doesn't. So I really felt like I had to make decisive, clear choices. Sometimes I didn't. It was really scary.
But didn't you learn from those times that you didn't? Because I know that I've
Yeah.
And I've made bad decisions in my business and it cost me a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you realize, oh my gosh, sometimes you have to go through those, you know, those hot coals and you have to walk on them. Because from there, you really gain. It's like, we're going to talk more about the shadow, but it's like going into that shadow world and just finding the gold. And you just come up from that world with so much empowerment and so much richness.
Yeah,
I know for me, and I totally get where you're at, you know, and where you were. Mm. For me, it was just taking my time to really get to know myself, which I had never given myself time.
Yeah.
Because I was married super young. I had my kids super young and I was a career woman scaling that corporate ladder super young and just working, you know, just getting more. And you never take a breath. You never sit down to take a breath. And not until something shatters your world, do you then have to then say, whoa, I think I need to like take a step and analyze where I'm at because I'm not happy and I don't want to continue moving forward. Because that's when destruction happens.
Yeah. And too, like sometimes it's like, you know, in the beginning we're on these driving, like this train, and we don't know how we got on it in the first place because some of our beliefs are instilled when we're little and then they carry out into, you know, say the college years, if you go to college or school, whatever. And then, you know, but who directed you to doing that? Typically it might be parents. It could be a teacher. It could be somebody external, but it's not typically unless, you know, I mean, maybe nowadays kids are getting like this internal, like, okay, this is really the direction I want to go. And I think we find that more in this day and age. You'll see more kids kind of branching out and parents are okay with it, you know, like that, but you know, back
and in cultural too.
Yeah. Cultural. You're kind of pushed, you know, like, oh, your family pushed you into becoming a doctor, but hell, you wanted to be a race car driver, you know, like, you know, and then you find that out after divorce, that's what you're going to do, you know, cause you're like, why did things unravel? Why did things unravel?
Exactly.
Because you were dissatisfied. Or and it's not just, I'm not just picking on family, but it's culturally. This is like, you know, the American dream. The American dream is to have the White House and picket fence, you know, like, and so we've seen movies, we've seen so many, you know, all our lives, you know, and women have been, you know, at home, maybe staying with the kids. And now we have women in the workforce because that wasn't satisfying enough. You know, probably back in, what was it, Mama's Little Pill or something? That, you know,
Mommy's Little Helper. Well,
yeah,
and
Mama's Little Helper was that pill because she was like, oh my God, I can't take another day of vacuuming the house and making dinner for, you know, my hubby. I need more, you know,
I need
more.
Well, I grew up because I came, you know, I came with my parents to this country as, you know, a Cuban refugee. My mom always worked. Everybody worked because we had to rebuild. So I was just a little kid, but I didn't grow up with a stay-at-home mom that baked cookies. And so my perception of success was to go out, you know, become a career woman like my mother. And she was a powerhouse. Wow. So I became one too. And, you know, it's great, but sometimes you have to take a step back because you get on that treadmill that just, it's like that marathon that won't end, that 26, you know, 26 mile marathon or, you know, the most I've ever done, I think, is a 15K because, you know, Shelly's the athlete in this team here. I mean, I've done a ton of 5Ks, but this woman's like the Iron Woman, you know?
Oh,
so to me, it's like that, oh my gosh, how many more miles do I have to, you know, before this thing is over? So that's like my
believe me, I think the same thing. I do. I'm like,
right. But it's you've gotta, and you know, I don't want to sound cliche by saying it was a good thing that we had this life on pause with this COVID situation.
All right.
Yes, because it has given us a breather. It's like we had to stop in the middle of the frenzied world that we were in and just stop and just breathe.
Yeah.
Because I know I needed that. I think a lot of people did. You just stop and breathe.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. It feels good to not actually be on that treadmill of okay, I got to drive into, you know, and I got to get to work. And I got to go to my next client, Oh my God, I'm having lunch. Now I got to go home and do this. I got to do the, you know.
We're always rushing.
Yeah. And then it's like, is it all worth it? You know, like,
you have to be happy.
Right. Yeah. And I wonder, like, if people sometimes, I mean, maybe they are, they plan.
Yeah, they are. I was happy when I was running my school and going 10 million miles an hour. I mean, I was happy. I mean, I was in the treadmill.
Yeah.
But, you know, circling back as to what the show's about, it's from the micro, which is our internal self, ourselves, to the macro, which is the world around you, your family, your career, your business, your jobs, whatever it is that you do, it all starts with you. How are you going to check in with yourself? And even on a daily basis to be able to see where you're at. Because, you know, let's face it, we're human. Sometimes we wake up and we're like in a bad mood or things happen. But, you know, is it consistent? I used to have a friend of mine that, you know, he always said, you know, things come in three. Like, you know, one, two, three. So if the same thing happens in a week three times, it's you know, dire, right? It's dire. It's not a coincidence. It's a pattern that's now you got to look at it.
Yeah. Pay attention. God is in the details. Spirit is talking to you, you know, right. Somebody's talking to you.
Exactly. And you've got to take a step back and analyze everything that's happening. Because we only have one life right now. Time you can never gain back. What happened yesterday is gone. And all of us know that time is going by so quickly. I mean, here we are towards the end of June already. And this year has been a year of woof.
Wow, right?
Yes. Yeah. A year that we will always remember. That is for sure.
Oh my goodness. For sure. We need to take a lot of things unraveling.
Yes, they have.
Crumbling and falling
yes,
apart.
They have. And this is the year to look at yourself, to look at your internal world, to get in touch with who you are, to empower yourself, to get in touch with what line of work are you doing? Are you very happy with your career, with your life? It's a year of reflection. Sure. It's a year of reflection.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Yeah.
And part of that is it's about loving yourself and taking the time to love yourself, which is a third chakra. And I think divorce is a third chakra thing too. It's all about empowerment.
Self-esteem, yeah.
Yeah, self-esteem. It's all how you love yourself. It's whether or not you're married to your own true compass, like yourself, right. And you'll honor that first.
Right.
Before anything else, which is in your solar plexus or your belly, your gut intuition is there. You know, so it's where where we develop our self-esteem and where we feel disempowered by what externally might come at us. Like, say if somebody says something that, and you take offense to, you know, those are telltale signs. Like if you're always offended by a certain, you know, thing that happens, like, can I think of anything? Well, from my perspective was I was in pretty much an all male environment in an MMA gym. And there were some men in there that would say some really offensive sexual things towards me while I was in the middle of teaching. I was the only female teacher there. And I would be offended. And then...
Rightfully so.
But yeah. I was in a position where I couldn't say anything about it.
Right.
Because I was in the middle of teaching a group of men. and I was in like the flow of speaking to them.
Right.
And I'm sure they were like, what the hell is this guy saying to her? But, you know, it reinforces all these other things. But I guess how I empowered myself over the years is I removed myself from the situation,
right.
One of them. But then I was like, I removed myself from the gym totally for an entire year. And then the head instructor called me and said, "Where have you been?" And I told him what happened. He goes, "You're not the only one."
Oh, wow. And, well, he's got to deal with that.
That's yeah. Really and good. That person is no longer there, but, and I have since been back, but there was an internal struggle because I would feel it like in right. the area. And it was the same feeling where, like, you know, in my innermost relationships, like, you know, my ex-husband would tease me when I was working, and I don't think he meant anything by it, uh-huh. you know, at the time, but I took such an offense to it. And I would focus on that. Like, I can't believe he said that to me while I was teaching little boys, you know, like he kind of poo-pooed me and teased me or something. And I got so offended. And that was like, this is how my self-esteem was growing externally in the workforce. And it's all about, you know, where do we get offended?
And it's your power.
Yes.
It's your power. Cause I'll give you a story from the corporate end, you know, that person or that boss that, you know, you just feel it in your gut, even when you hear their name, because you know that they disempower you. So because they disempower you, I remember I used to have a situation that person, it just would gut me. It would just totally gut me in my gut, which is your third chakra.
Yeah.
And it was just disempowerment until I was able to distance myself because of, you know, that person got another promotion. And, and then you begin to empower yourself because you put this person, you give them so much power.
Yeah, and you're giving your power away to them.
Totally.
And they might not even be, they probably didn't mean it in any context. They're completely unaware.
Exactly.
And it's your own like self.
It's a head game. Exactly.
It's your own self, you know, perspective.
Yes.
The thing about it is what you have to do is one, love yourself and know that you're enough. But also when you're in that growth spurt of empowering yourself is you got to develop some backbone and not take things personally.
Right.
And I mean, I didn't know that back then. I didn't know that back then. I was so super sensitive, you know?
Right. Like, so was I.
When I was testing the waters of being in the workforce and being a person of authority, which I had none at the time, and you know, no experience. And then if anybody said anything derogatory to me or like teased me a little bit, which I would have been fine with teasing, like if we were out and like having dinner and he teased me or something like that. But then in front of other people, in front of when I'm trying to be serious and gain some respect from other people, right. I was like, oh my God. And to be teased sexually was, you know. Well,
that's horrific. I mean, it is. I don't tolerate that because
this is something that's external. I guess my point is we have this Me Too movement or whatever. And, and granted, there's been some really bad behavior and I'm not condoning any of that, but how do we empower ourselves? One is we don't ignore it.
No, you can't.
And in the instance in time, what I learned, and you know, you get tired of confronting, you know,
or ignoring it. You can't
do it. That do that. Like, I mean, I confronted the guy when he did this. I've confronted him in different situations.
Right.
But in that I gave up. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then now if it happened again, I wouldn't even care. I just look at him. I'd be like, whatever, you're an idiot.
And I
might make some flippant comment, ignore him and let it go. And then I might say, you know, and I'd come up with something to say.
Right.
To whatever,
but you were having impressionable back then.
Yeah.
And you know, you're trying to make it for yourself.
He was a superior. You
and
know?
It's, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, but you can't ignore those kind of things. And they are totally, they should not be tolerated in any workforce, in any place.
It shouldn't be tolerated anywhere.
No, nowhere. Absolutely not.
You know?
Absolutely not. And a lot of times people that do that are bullies.
Yes.
They're bullies. They're total bullies.
Yeah.
Total bullies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but not to, you know, focus all on that. It's more about like me dealing with blaming somebody else for something instead of taking it to the next level where I'm no longer blaming them. I'm owning the situation myself and empowering myself where I'm committed. Say all those things. I'm loyal to myself. I'm committed to myself. I have my own honor integrity code that I've developed like this backbone and this stamina that those things don't make me crumble anymore or make me walk away or leave a room, you know, because somebody was inappropriate. I have the strength, the inner strength now to be there and to confront that head on and maintain my power.
Right.
I mean, I can choose to leave. I can choose to leave if I want to, but I'm not going to leave my energy behind with that.
No.
And when I left the gym, I did leave my energy behind because I blamed the person because I never, and even in divorce, in my divorce situations, I blamed my ex-husband and now I don't, you know, but like back then, and these are the dynamics. What we're talking about is how you take these, it's all about self-empowerment and it happens in the intimate relationship, as well as externally in the work environment, when you're,
and that's when you got to do a lot of work with yourself.
Absolutely,
it's deep to see what are those buttons that keep getting pushed that totally disempower and unbalance you.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, I'm in a new relationship. I love my husband very much, but I speak up. Yeah. I am not that person that will know. And you have to share your feelings, especially when you're, you know, in a marriage, and you have to share your feelings appropriately in the workforce.
Yeah.
You have to have a venue where you can, you know, especially now working with teams, working with all kinds of different global, diverse people, you've got to be able to share, you know, part of your perspective. And we also have to be open-minded enough to listen to other people's perspectives too.
And not to be afraid to do it. Not, you know, like if you have a different perspective that you want to share, but you might be afraid to because you're afraid of fearful. If I say this, they're not going to like it. And me being honest or something and they're not going to like it. And I might get fired, you know, like, you know, I mean like that situation that I mentioned earlier, I mean, I did get fired because I wasn't good. I mentioned stuff. I said stuff to like Shelly got me.
Right.
And in the end,
I was accurate in everything that ended up happening. The company went belly up. I was like, something's not right here. You guys, we shouldn't be doing that.
Or like that meter, that BS. Meter,
right? Reading the bullshit. It was all over the place. And I'm like, I'm not going down that road. You guys can go down it because they want, you know, people went down it. They were afraid they're going to lose their job. I'm like, hey, you're going to lose your job anyways. But I mean, that was just, that happened, I guess, to me. But there's other ways that this.
I'm more strategic. I'm always, I guess, because I worked in a corporate environment that you had to be very strict. I'm very strategic.
Yeah.
And I navigate.
Started there. I was just a
right. I navigate the waters with discernment, I should say.
Yeah.
But you know what? It cost me a long time to learn it because sometimes I would just say things and, you know, after a lot of, you know, crying in your pillow at night because you made a mistake, you learn. And it's part of our growth. Yeah. It's part of our growth.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think as, you know, if you grow after these things happen in your life and you become, you know, maybe you're an entrepreneur, maybe you're a manager or business leader of some kind, you have to have like these, a commitment to yourself. You have to have, you have to have a loyal kind of, you have to be loyal to your soul and your spirit.
You have to.
You know, and then, I mean, and you have to honor your own integrity and what those values are. And if you go out of alignment with that, you know, it'll throw you all off in all areas of your life. And you're wondering why your life unravels.
Right.
You know, or why you're depressed. I mean, depression is so huge in this country right now.
It is.
You know, like there's these are low vibration emotions, and you got to start asking, you know, questions on like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Right. And it's typically because of somehow you're feeling somehow offended and you're blaming something else externally, or you're looking externally for answers instead of looking internally. Right. And it does come down to that third chakra and some of the
survival archetypes that you're contending with, you know, the prostitute, the saboteur, and child, and the victim. And sometimes too, the victim, which is kind of funny, is we might be victims, all right? We might be victimized, but then we become victimizers by, you know, pulling the card out of, you know, having the lawyer come in and, you know, sue the ex or sue the whatever, or you know, we play that card really well in this country for sure. Which is those things need to be dismantled for sure on every level. Like even in the corporate level, you know, like this company did that or whatever, you know, I'm going to sue you for, you know, use my logo. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But be true to yourself. Look inside because the way that you carry yourself and empower yourself is the way that people you attract and things around you. And a lot of times things happen because they're testing our will. Yeah. They're testing how we're going to see if we're really ready to, you know, to face that challenge.
Well, ready to move into what we've been dreaming of maybe, or what we may want in our life. Like I think, you know, some of these things, you know, if we're in a workforce that we become dissatisfied. So we launch these other desires or these rockets of thought and emotion. And we're like, oh, I'd really like to do this. But we're too afraid to do it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get this whole plate is cleared, you know, you got this new life opportunity and you're like, okay, how do I go about doing this?
You set that intention, but I know you're going to teach us now how to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Oh, I know. So anything else should we, I think we're kind of,
I don't know, but we're gearing up for a fabulous July season.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're really going to, you know, put this micro and macro together, but we're going to put it in the realm of, you know, our country. we're going to discuss the sacred contract of our country and how we're all involved in it. And part of everything that we just talked about now is we're contributing to that sacred contract in our lives. And we've done it. I personally feel like a lot of our growth, I mean, divorce was a big thing. And I'm like, why do couples go through divorce when you think, you know, I mean, there's lots of reasons, but it's all about our growth. And it's like, we grew to go through these emotions and then how we're creating what comes next. And we all want freedom and independence. And it's all like, for me, I don't know about you, Shelley, but for me, it was really being independent of my ex-partner and not being afraid of who I am.
Right. For me, it was being my authentic self.
Yeah, it was all about being
illusions or, you know, pretending to be someone that this is who you get. This is who I am. Yeah. And I've been able to you know, step into that power and step into my own now with my marriage. And my husband knows that he gets my authentic self. And I love him for that because he honors me. And it's okay. But boy, did I work on getting to where I'm at.
Yeah, and it's not hiding yourself. Not easy. Yeah, it's not hiding yourself anymore from either your intimate, you know, partners or even externally when you're out in the workforce or you're out with friends and stuff. You're being true to yourself and
totally.
And you're exposing yourself like the things that aren't you're not in alignment with. There'll be experiences that will expose that in you, and you have to be open to accept that and say, "Hey, wait a minute!" Like, you know, you were saying, like if something comes in threes, you know, look at that. You know, like it's a good idea to kind of look at that and say, "Hey, maybe." That's something I do. And
exactly.
You know, and it all comes down to be, you know, how we harm ourselves is somehow we get offended.
We sabotage, and, right.
Yeah, and we sabotage ourselves because our self-esteem, it needs right. to be built. The ego needs to kind of step aside so your soul can come through and mm-hmm. have the power of that leading you into, you know, the next phase of your life, whatever that mm-hmm. may be. And part of our next show is the lead in for this is, you know, into the sacred contracts of America, because we are all a part of that. We have been, you know, a part of it since its early beginnings, whether we were born in this country or not.
Exactly. And I'm fascinated. Here. I was not born in this country, so I'm fascinated with that series.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it comes down to what we do in our micro mm-hmm. day-to-day stuff. It expands into, you know, the workforce, the government, and then it expands to the globe. And there's no escaping it. It permeates in all of us. And I think with this COVID-19, we're kind of getting a sense of how just interconnected we are.
We're still connected, aren't we?
Yeah. Even though we're individuals.
We took so many things for granted, you know?
You can't, because it's...
No, you can't.
Like, we're all connected. We can all suffer. We all suffer in the same ways.
Right.
You know, like those humiliations.
We're all humans.
Those humiliations are the same. They might just have a little bit different storyline.
Right.
Exactly. But if someone we love doesn't want to be with us and abandons us, you know, we might be the wounded child forever. You know, my mom left me.
Hopefully not.
You know, but those are things that we're all in this together kind of thing.
Yes,
where we experience these archetypal storylines. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I've experienced a lot of archetypal storylines in my life. I think everybody that I know has on some way, shape, or level, right. like, you know, they've experienced these sorts of things. And so when we get into the sacred contracts of America, it's also taps into you on the micro level of your own sacred contract. And it might wake you up, to being more authentically mm-hmm. you. In your day-to-day life where you might have been afraid to be. It might give right. you the courage to step out and speak, you know, maybe a little more of your truth, or have a voice here right. or there where maybe you didn't have one. I mean, I don't know what it is. Everybody's different, where they need to, you know, find their empowerment.
Exactly.
But in this season, Shelley and I have gone through so many aspects of power.
Yes.
And where we're powerless in our micro, in our cell tissue, in our chakra system, that now we're going to kind of explore that a little bit more externally. And so that's one of the reasons why we're getting into the sacred contracts right. of America. And that's going to be kind of a fun very interesting series.
Very historical, because we're going to talk about history.
Yeah.
We're going to really talk a lot about the history of this country, and yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be delicious.
Yeah. And it's all about becoming awake and yes. setting the intention. Like at the beginning of our show, we set an intention of discernment and you know, just about having an intention. And it's such a huge thing to do. And usually at the end of our shows, we've been doing, familiarizing you with your own chakra system with right. some breath work. And it's about how to get in touch with yourself and your own intuition and listening to that internal voice. But it starts with, okay, being able to be silent and sitting and breathing. And so today's little exercise that we're going to do is we're going to do an affirmation or a mantra. So it'll be like we'll chant some words, and it's all going to be about being clear and clarity today. As we move forward, this is something that you can do really easily. I had brought, I don't know, Shelley, do you have mala beads?
I do.
All right. So I did bring mala beads today.
And not my studio, but I do have them.
And, you know, they're used by monks, and they're used, there's 108 beads, and I'd say they're their equivalent of like the rosary.
The rosary, exactly.
You know, like, and it's about, and some people refer to affirmations, like the monks or whatever, they might say that, you know, it's a chant, it's something that it's repeated, and it's all about changing the subconscious mind and becoming conscious. And the thing about it is, you know, with prayer, Shelley's prayer at the beginning was short and sweet. But one of the things that's really important about that short and sweet is she set an intention, and then she had a clear thing in mind, whatever she visualized for it, you know, to heal something. And then after that, you put an emotion with it. And it's the same thing with anything that we're intending externally and we want to bring to light. Say it might be, you know, to be happy, you know, I am happy, or I am confident. And these are ways that we can empower ourselves with, you know, just a few words. Mm-hmm. But the big important thing is to have a visualization, an outcome of what that looks like for you. And so today's intention, I'm choosing it. and it's about...
Empowered, everybody.
It's about waking up, all right? It's about becoming awake and dismantling what this whole show was about is exposing yourself naked, the lies naked, you know, like, and being exposed. So you have to wake up, you know?
Right.
And so it's going to be about being awake. And the mantra today will be, I am awake, or I'm awake. But first, I don't know if there's anything else I wanted to add to that. Yeah, I think that's pretty good before we get into it. Yeah. So I'm going to have you come into your breath. And just like if you had listened to the other episodes, make sure that you're not driving and you're sitting comfortably in a quiet place that you can just relax. It could be a chair. You could even lie down if you want to. And just steady yourself. And maybe close your eyes and come into your breath, breathing in through the nose and exhaling through slightly parted lips. And just follow the breath as you're on the inhale, as it glides down the back of the roof of the mouth, and as it lifts the chest, expands the rib cage, and pull it all the way down so the belly blows up like a balloon. And then on your exhale, the navel draws close to the spine, the rib cage contracts towards the spine, and your chest falls as the breath extinguishes through slightly parted lips. So just focus on that. Focus on the inhalation and the exhalation. And if there's any areas of tension throughout the body, starting at the toes, feel yourself relax, your feet, your ankles, your calves, all the way up through the knees and the knee backs, up through your hamstrings and your quads, up through your reproductive organs and your hips, up through your lower back, up through the belly and the rib cage, feeling your shoulders draw down and away from the ears as your biceps and elbows and forearms and fingers become relaxed. Feeling your throat and neck, your jaw. Maybe your tongue is now at the roof of your mouth. And if there's any tension at your brow or at your forehead, just feel it relax as you follow your breath, inhaling and exhaling. So I want you to think of a time in your life when you just knew something was going to happen, and you just knew it. You didn't know why you knew it, but you knew it, and it was something that was going to be really good.
and you just had a real strong sense of it, a real strong faith, and it came true. And hold that. Because how did it make you feel, especially when it came true, that you knew it, even though there was no physical information, but you knew it would come true, it would manifest. And just hold on to that. And hold on to the feeling of that. And the words today that we're going to chant, and you can say it quietly to yourself. I'm going to say it out loud, but you can say it quietly to yourself, is I am awake. And what that means to you, I am awake. And feel it, I am awake. And hold that emotion, I am awake. Of what it felt to know something, I am awake. 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 I'm 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 awake. I am 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 awake. Now go back to your breath. And just breathe that feeling in as you inhale and exhale. You can come back to any normal breathing. Maybe bring your palms together and create a friction and gently place them over your eyes, massaging your eyes in one direction and then in the other, and then just releasing. Just take a cleansing breath. So it's just noticing how that might feel. And if you want to change your subconscious mind, trying that, you know, for 21 days is a great way to change some neurological behavior in the mind. Say, you know, you have confusion, mm-hmm. which
right now in our world, there's a lot of lies and falseness. So we want to have clear sight and we want to be able to be clear. And being awake is about being clear. And trusting and having faith is about trusting source energy and listening to that internal guidance, which is guiding us all on where we need to be currently, which is at home. I'm joking.
And I wanted to ask you, because we did the mantra on mala beads, and there was 108 beads. So for those of you that are listening and don't have mala beads or have never heard of mala beads, they are 108 beads, and we do the chant 108 times.
Yes.
That was really a wonderful, I just felt so invigorated. Mm. I just really felt really, really good.
Well, it what it does is it changes the frequency.
The vibration. I just felt like.
Yeah. It changes your frequency. And, you know, Nikola Tesla said, to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And so what we're doing right now is changing your frequency and your vibration to
totally change
more uplifting. So the big thing about doing that mantra was, okay, if we're in those vibrations of feeling blame and anger and whatever, you know, or even if we want to improve ourselves, maybe we're happy and stuff, but maybe we're in a difficult situation at work and we're trying to get some bearings on things and we want to see more clearly, or there's something else, we want to be happier, or we want to invoke some other, or set an intention to bring something else in. This is a great way to do it. But the key is setting the intention, for one, visualizing the outcome, and then having some emotion of how it feels. That's the key ingredient of how it feels. And I don't think there's a human being out there that doesn't want to feel good and happy. I mean, that's what our country is about.
And sustain
the pursuit of happiness. You know, the great human, you know, like that's what we all want. We want to be happy. We want to be free. We want to be independent. And we're going to get in real, real deep with that next month. And I can't even wait to do that series with you, because we're going to see how connected, you're going to see how connected you are to everything that happens. So it could be a little scary, because all the choices that you make have an impact.
Totally.
Like it's like you have subatomic power in your thoughts, and depending on the emotion that's behind
them.
So you really have to know your emotional state and where that's going, because
and the intentions that you set, because sometimes they'll come true.
Yeah.
But what I did want to tell the listeners is that I do my spiritual work every day, like taking a vitamin C, not when I am, you know, feeling bad or when things aren't going well in my life. I do it to sustain where I'm at and to keep scaling up. It's so important. It's like now I take vitamin C every day. I always took a vitamin before, but now it's like, you know, I feel great, but I'm going to maintain that feeling and scale it even more. Wow. So, yes.
That's great. That's like, you know, like for me, I exercise multiple times a week, but I do get some form of exercise in, you know, like there's everything is, you know, depending on what you want to do. It's like, you have to have the discipline and the commitment to practice it. And you have to be loyal to yourself, and yet you have to honor your body and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do so I can be that much more better as a human being.
Absolutely.
And then things become really efficient after a while.
You get efficient really and super efficient. Clear.
Yeah.
And super clear.
Yeah.
Super, which I love. Super clear.
Yeah. So that little mantra, that little chant,
wonderful.
It's a good way to change your vibration. If you have, you know, some mind muck or you can't make decisions clearly, you know, maybe, you know, I am clear, you know, or you don't have to say awake. That was just my choice of words today, but you could come up with something that's really simple, concise, and then visualize the outcome that you want to feel, and really feel that while you're saying it. And you do it for 21 days, And you can really have a major shift and impact in your consciousness and becoming more conscious, more enlightened, more empowered, and more open.
Oh, what a great show. I love doing our shows.
I do too. So if you like what you heard today and want to hear more, remember to subscribe and download on iTunes. Or you can follow us at, facebook.com/evolve360life.
Or evolve360life, yes.
Yeah.
Evolve360life on Facebook, and we're on Spotify, we're on Podomatic.
YouTube, you get to watch us. The other ones, you get to listen.
As Evolve360 show. And we're going to be doing a lot more, and you're going to be hearing a lot more of what we're going to be unveiling. But I just can't wait. I can't believe that we're at the end of June.
Yeah, either, right?
No, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is our 11th? Our
11th. Our 11th episode.
Already. And we just started this. It's amazing. So this is
Shelly Grace.
And Shelly Divine with Life Unplugged, Raw and Real. See you on the next show of Evolve 360. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love.